At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings. Realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
And welcome to episode number 57 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry, Dustin Galker, Adam Candy. Join me at Dustin Galker, at Adam Candy, two E's, no Y on the Twitter machine. Guys, we are on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google for your listening pleasure. Going to talk some DraftKings as usual. Of course, we're going to hit on California. We're going to look at some numbers as well. We'll even talk about what's going on over there in Illinois. But guys, let's go ahead and kick things off here with DraftKings, because this just continues to be a big story. I mean, and this is like we talked a little bit about this last week, but this isn't just kind of at this point in the gaming world, right? I mean, it was when it first started and we were certainly following all of this, but this has gotten really, really mainstream here, and DraftKings continues to make noise.
So the news this time, Matt, is that DraftKings will be offering 33 million shares for purchase. 14 of those are new issued, and 19 of those are going to be current stockholders, including some very big names in the sports world, selling off here after this pretty impressive first 2 months for the stock on the market. That information came out of a filing that DraftKings sent in to the SEC this week. And what we're looking at essentially is DraftKings being in a position to raise some cash from that $14 million share offering. And also some, like we mentioned, some of the DraftKings executives and some big hitters in the sports world cashing out some of their early profits as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the things that you said is one of the things that stands out in all of this is, you know, look, we're certainly not stock experts or anything like that. But one thing we have noticed is this thing has risen. It has risen very fast. And these guys got rich. Like, all of these people who are going to be, you know, doing some selling here are rich people. You recognize the names Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, James Dolan, you know, and of course, we've talked about Jason Robbins and Matt Kalish on here as well. But when we look at this, Dustin, I mean, they're going to take, you know, they're going to take some profits out of this, because, I mean, this was just an astronomical climb here in such a short amount of time. And, you know, these guys got rich doing things just like this along the way. And so just add more to their fortunes here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, on paper at the current stock price, as long as it hasn't gone in the tank since we started this podcast, I think the CEO Jason Robbins is a billionaire on paper, which is kind of wild given, you know, the arc of things. But this I think the interesting thing is it's gone so mainstream. This is, you know, part of the just people are day trading is a thing. People know the DraftKings brands, probably a lot of people who know DFS and sports betting just wanting to get on the DraftKings train. I have random people who know that I've done this and ask about the stock to me personally. And I'm like, do the same thing I do on the podcast. I'm like, I am not a stock tout. Don't listen to my advice. Although most of the people who are analysts in the industry are still on a buy for DraftKings. Obviously, you know, this is the new share offering that's apart from the folks who are cashing out, like Adam said, is a capital raise and will dilute some people's stock. But I think the DraftKings stock story is kind of taking a life of its own and is just about the hottest thing in the sports betting space in the U.S., especially without any sports going on.
And Adam, I guess one of the other things here that that doesn't get as much pub just because it's not happening here in the States. You know, I mean, we talk time and time again, really the market leader in all of these big states has been FanDuel, and people are probably sitting there. If you're not familiar with, I mean, again, we're not stock people really as it is anyway, but if you're not familiar with it, kind of like we weren't, and you're like, oh, okay, well, why don't you guys talk about FanDuel stock, like what's going on there? Well, it's not on the U.S. exchanges, and so it's overseas with their parent company, you know, being located over there and all of that. And so I imagine we've seen some of the European gaming companies come and list over here on the U.S. exchanges. I can't say for certain one way or the other that Flutter will do that, but it does make you wonder what Flutter would look like should it decide to come over here and list, because as we know, they are DraftKings and then some.
FanDuel is, of course, the U.S. market share leader through the first 2 years of U.S. sports betting. And that company that you just mentioned, Flutter, encompasses not just FanDuel in terms of US facing, but also FoxBet, which was BetStars. And FoxBet has been quietly starting to gain some traction. Obviously, BetStars didn't go anywhere. The brand name that we thought from PokerStars and from overseas would translate into some interest here, it just didn't really happen. So now you look at what Flutter has to offer and you think to yourself, they just raised $1 billion with a B, with an eye toward U.S. expansion. They are the market leader. They have what could easily become the clear number three brand in America, along with the number one brand in FanDuel. It'll be curious to see how long they decide to operate both those brands as separate entities. But you have a company in Flutter that, really, if you just put the two on paper between them and DraftKings, you would say to yourselves, well, which is the better offering now? Which is more diversified? And you would say, you know, Flutter overall seems to be at least in a more stable position than DraftKings does. And then we ask ourselves, okay, so if Flutter raised $1 billion and DraftKings is in the process of putting out 14 million new shares, what exactly is DraftKings raising the money for after this hugely successful public offering in 2 months, right? Like, they've seen the market cap of this company double and then some here over the past couple of months. Brad Allen had an article at LSR that we ran just about a week ago talking about, would DraftKings have an interest in buying a media company? And we talked about this with Bleacher Report a little bit, and Brad kind of went back to talking about that today a bit. And that's certainly something worth speculating on here as we see this DraftKings capital raise.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I have at least, mild speculation out there with the way that Flutter is positioned, having the Fox brand attached to it and being able to get that free publicity across all of those entities. It does make you wonder, Dustin, you know, there are some fairly big reach media companies that are still out there that are probably attainable, that are probably, at least should the right offer come along, certainly would at least entertain a purchase or some sort of, you know, major deal. Maybe DraftKings tries to do some sort of something like Flutter did with Fox. But that seems to be, you know, I mean, we've talked about it. It's all about grabbing new eyeballs. It's all about grabbing new market share, getting these new signups as they enter these new markets. And, you know, outside of spending, which they're going to do, the millions of dollars in the promos and things like that for customer acquisition, getting in front of people just through a media outlet where, you know, if you own it or if you have some sort of great partnership, it's not going to cost you near as much money.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to fuel speculation of an acquisition by DraftKings. You know, they are sitting on an even bigger war chest. But I also think people don't realize, you know, when we get back into sports, especially when we get into football, the know, there is going to be, this is not, I mean, it may or may not be quite DFS levels of spending circa 2015, but, you know, in the states that it's live, you are going to see DraftKings and FanDuel pushing really hard on acquisition, and everybody else should be too, for that matter. But, you know, that these war chests are like, yeah, that's a lot of, it's not, I mean, we're talking $1 billion, another half billion for DraftKings. Like, these are obviously large amounts of money, but when you start, like, you get it, dig into it, and like how much money they're going to deploy, you know, just for NFL season. Like, these, you know, it's, they're not going to certainly burn through $1 billion, but, you know, just for expansion and, you know, that general expansion and that, you know, you have Barstool coming down the road. You have other, I mean, whether they see them as a legit threat to what they're doing, who knows? But, you know, there's no amount of money that could be too much that you could be ready to deploy in the U.S. market right now to grab market share.
And Adam, before we move on here, I guess we should take this time to thank Dustin for going ahead and joining us on this podcast, as he also is one of the big exiters here that's going to be one of the big sellers. And now, you know, after the eight figures that he's going to make on his stock sale, that he is to, you know, going to slum it here with us on the podcast moving forward.
The most amazing part about this to me is that Dustin has connectivity from his Jerry Jones super yacht to be able to get in live on this thing. It's unbelievable.
I know. He sounds great, too. I mean, great sound quality. I mean, he's putting that DraftKings stock money to good use, no doubt about it. My favorite market, I've talked about it here on the podcast time and time again, is Colorado. I cannot wait for football season. I cannot wait for the fall when all of these sports seem like they are all going to collide at the same time and see how everything shakes out there in Colorado. And Dustin, we have a player that, if you are familiar with the gaming industry, you probably know the name. If you are not, you might not be as familiar here, but they are trying to make some moves there in Colorado.
Yeah, Betfred, which is going to be, you know, not new to listeners of the podcast probably, but is known to, yeah, like I said, people in the industry. This is their first real splash in the U.S. They sign a deal to have a betting lounge outside the Denver Broncos Stadium. Are an official partner of the Denver Broncos. Get into the other deal in a second, but this is this is a pretty splashy move. Again, we've talked about Colorado as an open market, and if you're going to, you know, drop that kind of coin on getting your eyeballs in front of people, I'd say Colorado is a pretty good bet. Where level playing field, you establish yourself, you start getting your brand out there to Coloradans, and it's really interesting to see. You know, this is outside of the Big Two and some of the other movers like Fox Bet. This is kind of the first really splashy thing we've seen, and it is the kind of thing that you're going to need to do if you really want to acquire market share and compete at the top levels of sports betting in any state.
And Adam, we talk about this, and I mean, you know, I think for us and people who have been following just the saga of sports betting in the NFL, just in particular, to see where we were such a short time ago to where we are now, and talking about one of these operators operating a betting lounge at one of the stadiums and whatnot, when you take a step back, I mean, because we live and breathe this every single day, and you know, it maybe becomes we take a little bit of this for granted, and maybe it becomes a little monotonous, but you certainly start to realize, like, wow, I mean, this has rocket shipped. I mean, just crazy, crazy, crazy fast as far as moving things along.
Yeah, Matt, you know how it feels like quarantine life, you know, 2 or 3 months feels like 2 or 3 years. It is the 180 degree opposite when it comes to what's been going on with legal U.S. sports betting and the pro sports leagues' attitude toward it. Imagine telling someone 2.5 years ago that Roger Goodell's NFL would be allowing an on-site betting lounge and monetizing it, making money from it, when we were talking about Tony Romo having to cancel a fantasy convention because it was going to be in a casino. It's truly unbelievable the amount of change that we've seen out of the NFL in specific, right? Because the NFL has been prominent in being out front and saying that this sports betting expansion would be a serious threat to the integrity of the game, to the future of the game. We've gone from that to the Denver Broncos signing two partners in 2 days to have sports betting at Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, Dustin, that's one of the things we can talk about here. I mean, yeah, Betfred is going to be involved there, but we were just talking about Flutter, and they're going to be involved with the Broncos as well.
Yeah, I mean, the first news was almost usurped by that because of the betting lounge piece and having that on property, but it was the first time a team specifically partnered with a sports book in the NFL. So that's interesting. And obviously a movement in that world. And, you know, you gotta think that it opens up other possibilities. Actually kind of shocking if this was open to NFL teams, this is the first instance of it. You know, we have the teams in the New York area, the teams in Pennsylvania, the Steelers and the Eagles, you have the Colts in Indiana. There are lots of options for this. You know, we even have the Raiders in Nevada too. So will we see a waterfall of these things happening? I don't know, because it is kind of strange. This started in Colorado and does seem like the water has started flowing downhill on this. So it'll be interesting to see if we start seeing more of these. But FanDuel again being aggressive, using some of that money. We don't know what the terms of these deals are, but they certainly aren't cheap.
What'll be interesting, I think, Dustin, is if some of the existing deals that are casino deals end up getting sports betting deals too, right? Because we know the Raiders and Caesars are tied up. We know 888 and the New York Jets are tied up for casino. And, you know, now that the Broncos have broken the seal on the sports betting side, curious to see where these other deals progress.
Yeah, and the casino parts, I don't think it's necessarily going to be the same partner there. I mean, they're going to say, well, you're going to have to pay twice if you want to be the sportsbook partner if you're a team, right? So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not saying that you get it as a free add-on.
Right.
But I will say, I mean, if it was anything like these partnerships that we were seeing when they were starting to happen, I mean, once the first one happened, they were rapid and they were happening left and right. And it would not surprise me now that we've, as you said, Adam, pretty good way to put it. Now that we've broken the seal with this, would not surprise me if we're starting to have almost weekly announcements here on the podcast about a new deal of some sort of something like this anyway.
No, without question. And I forgot. I mean, I left a couple out. The Ravens, the Saints. I mean, there are plenty of NFL teams that have already taken that first step with those weirdo partnerships that were like, no, no, no. It's a casino that we're partnering with, but not for sports betting. Right. Right. Because we're a sports team partnering with a casino that has sports betting. Anyway, you know what I mean? Yeah. But ultimately,
it's a casino war sponsorship. You know, it's a partnership for a casino war. Adam. Yeah. Like, you know, you just go in and like, you know, mm-hmm. if the dealer flips over a jack and you've got a king, that's all there is to it. You win.
See,
that's
all there is to it. I think that makes perfect sense. It's just like the fact that the Pro Bowl is coming to Las Vegas in 2021, but players technically aren't allowed in casinos that have sports books.
Yeah, yeah, because that'll happen, I'm sure. They better land and then play the game that night. Is all I'm saying. Like, they better do that. Did he really? That's awesome.
Golden Tate came out on Twitter and basically said, "You better take us straight from the airport to the game."
Oh man, good stuff.
Amazing. The other part of this is that I mean, this was my job in 2015-16 too, and when FanDuel and DraftKings were signing every team on the planet to some sort of deal for DFS. Now, you know, how effective was that? How was it? Did it translate into more users? I don't know. I don't know that for a fact, but you know, that's what it starts to feel like. You know, we kind of had this early run of those deals. Now if we have NFL teams open up the sports books, it feels like we should start seeing these more often and more frequently.
I would definitely think that that's going to be the case. And of course, we will keep you up to date on any of those that get announced here along the way. Now, one of the things we do here every single time numbers come out, we love to tell you about numbers. Typically, we like to tell you about very big numbers. We know what's going on in the world right now. So, Adam, what's New Jersey and Pennsylvania kind of look like here as we start to tiptoe, as we start to creep back into a world where we will have, you know, sports running, and it looks like a lot of sports running at the same time?
I think the most interesting part of the New Jersey and Pennsylvania revenue reports this time is not actually the numbers. It's that the trend is almost identical for the two states. So essentially what you had in New Jersey and Pennsylvania was a roughly doubling of handle from April to May. showing that as some more mainstream things like NASCAR and UFC became available on the betting markets, you saw people jump back in and start to bet a little bit more robustly than they had. Of course, you would say the same thing for these markets also, that it's nowhere near what maturity would look like. You're hundreds of millions of dollars of handle short of where you would be. Pennsylvania last month at about $78 million in handle with about a 6% hold. You know, the 6% hold's about normal. The $78 million is probably a quarter of what that market could generate, considering they were up to about 90% mobile prior to the coronavirus shutdown. So what'll be really interesting, and I would check out an article we have at Legal Sports Report right now about sort of land grab 2.0, is what's going to be out there in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, especially for these sports books trying to reactivate players who might have gone dormant. With it's going to come right at the start of NBA and NHL coming online and right before football season as well. And as Dustin was talking about, I mean, you might have to start digging under the couch cushions for all of these sportsbook operators to come up with enough money for the promos that we're going to see.
It is going to be fun. I mean, we're, you know, we talked about it a little bit with Colorado, but I mean, we're seeing it in these other states as well. I mean, Indiana is still running really kind of jaw dropping promos, and it's going to be nutso whenever the NFL rolls back around. Dustin, we really hit on the boom, right? Whenever that we got when pandemic started, that online casino and certainly online poker kind of saw a little bit of a renaissance on the poker side of things. Casino, we saw some numbers really shoot up. How are those holding as we've moved into people getting back to work a little bit, states opening back up, and regular lifestyle, you know, air quotes there, regular lifestyle starting to come back into society?
I mean, actually, the two markets that are fully open, like this Pennsylvania, New Jersey, were still pretty closed up just because they were so impacted by the coronavirus. They're mostly closed. That has started to change at the very tail end of May and into June. You know, casinos in New Jersey are still going to be closed. I think the latest there is Atlantic City might open up around the 4th of July. Pennsylvania, we literally just in the last, I think, week and a half or so, started to see the first casinos open up there. Anyway, long story short, May was still a very good month for online casino because the states were still bottled up. No gambling options from a land-based variety. So we saw $86 million in revenue for New Jersey. That's revenue. That's on handle. That's operator revenue coming in. And then Pennsylvania, which had $55 million. This is a much newer market than New Jersey, but that's putting up a number that New Jersey hadn't done until the start of this year. So, I mean, Pennsylvania is obviously a bigger state, but it just speaks to the growth of it and the opportunity in the short term as land-based gaming options are closed down. I suspect as summer hits, as things reopen, I think we probably hit the high water mark in both these states. But it's still, you know, it still is a compelling storyline. These are states that had zero casino revenue, and they are at least getting something out of the online option. And you know, New Jersey, you know, from even just like a year or two ago, is about 3x. In terms of revenue. Now, again, we don't expect that to continue, but it should hit a new high watermark just because of all the new customers acquired and just more people who are aware of the option to bet online.
Adam, what will be interesting to see as we kind of move forward with, you know, people getting back to work and things opening back up and regular life, again, air quote, regular life, kind of getting back going again, is to seeing how many of the things that happened through the pandemic actually stick. You know, one of the ones for me, I certainly hope sticks, is this spacing out at the grocery store. If someone doesn't want to ram their cart up my butt as I'm waiting to put the stuff on the checkout thing, I'm perfectly fine with that. If you want to wait 6 feet, if it's permanent from here on forward that they have to wait 6 feet behind me until I've put all my groceries on the deal and all that, I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't need people breathing down my neck when it comes to checking out the grocery store. I guess relating this back to gaming is, all these people that were exposed to online casino for the first time or got back into online poker, maybe they played, you know, back in the day when Full Tilt and PokerStars were, you know, the big wigs, and it was kind of a wild, wild west free for all when it came to all of that. How many of those people, you know, either either just go back to their normal life and it just kind of left in the past there, or how many people say like, oh, you know what, that was actually pretty fun and that was actually pretty cool. And despite the fact that I won't have as much time to do it as I did through, you know, when I wasn't working and sitting at home, maybe this is something that will become kind of a little bit of a hobby for me.
I'll actually play off the cart butt story there and kind of give you an analogy from my own life in terms of where I think this might go. I have not set foot in a grocery store in 3 months. It was not a risk that I felt was worth taking. And at first, I was ordering from Whole Foods online, having that delivered to my house. And then I realized with Instacart, I could have other stores delivered to my house as well. And as I saw the convenience of that, and as I saw the relative expense of what it costs to have it delivered, I realized, you know what? This is actually worth my time. Like, this is worth my time to not go to the grocery store. And I'm actually someone who enjoys going to the grocery store. I'm that weirdo who actually kind of can just unwind walking through the aisles and looking for a good deal. But at the same time, I see how much time and effort I save with Instacart. And so that's something I adopted during the pandemic, that whenever, you know, we are back into the clear, I'm probably going to keep doing to some degree. So I think the channel adoption that you're talking about when it comes to online sports betting or online gaming, I think the channel adoption could stick to some degree because people are still getting the fix that they want of the action without going to the casino, without the parking challenges, and without the smoke if you're someone who doesn't like dealing with that. All those things can be eliminated. Now, what necessarily will you do when it comes to what you're wagering on, what games you're playing? I think we're going to see quite a bit of difference in that. And I think we've talked about what's going to stick and what's not in sports betting. You know, table tennis and Belarusian soccer have been fun diversions.
Done.
They're not going to stick when we get the NFL back.
My big takeaway from this segment is Adam is independently wealthy and can shop at Whole Foods. I cannot.
No. Get Whole Foods delivered. No. There's a that's even a step up right there. Whole Foods delivered, I might add.
YOLO, yeah. Folks. YOLO.
Hey, if you have it, do it. I mean, some of it is also these were new customers, right? People who are bored at home. These are not necessarily people who are clamoring to go to the casino too. So it'll be interesting how much of it is channel conversion and how much of it is just, you know, people. These are new customers who, you know, were bored, looking for a way to gamble. Were they going to a casino or were they not, or were they just looking around the internet and found new ways to entertain themselves? It's that's the question as we come out of the pandemic, if we've set a new floor for online casino, or if things kind of go back because people didn't have that many gambling options.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be very interesting for us to follow, you know, in the months to come. And I actually do think there'll be some adoption for sure, because, you know, for all the things that you guys have mentioned, there is a lot of convenience to being able to pop in when you want to, leave when you want to. There's no barrier to entry of getting in a car and going somewhere and, you know, caring about what you look like. And if you, like Adam mentioned, if you don't like smoke, if you don't like whatever. Yeah. So there's some pretty interesting things and some pretty appealing things to the online side. Dustin, Catena Media here. We are a big, you know, we are an international company here, have some people up north of the border, and maybe those friends of ours up north of the border might actually be looking at some sports betting of their own.
Yeah, there's at least a whiff of something going on in Canada. The interesting part that has happened is several U.S. and Canadian leagues have signed a letter asking the federal government to legalize single game wagering up there. NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, Major League Soccer, Canadian Football League all signed this letter, telling Parliament and the Prime Minister there that they think it should be legalized. Now, is that enough to kind of push this over the edge? Who knows? They're obviously doing a little bit of lobbying up there. This is certainly not the first time that single game wagering has come up in Canada. It's I've been writing about this possibility for years. Right now, you're kind of limited to parlay wagering on the provincial level. So it's not something that's widespread. Again, you know, most offshore sites serve Canada. So this is something that's happening already in Canada. You can legalize and regulate it and get some tax revenue. There is a bill that was introduced this winter that would do this. Who knows on the prospects of passage? I, I'm I'm going to say there's, I mean, you listen to people, maybe there's a chance, but it seems kind of far off. You know, Canada should, though, be looking at this. You know, there's, they have Michigan opening up right across the border. You know, Canadians are going to be able to go, you know, bet online and bet at casinos across the border pretty soon. You know, I think that starts making a little bit more of a compelling reason for Canada to join the game and have single game betting.
And Adam, we've talked about these media companies. We mentioned that just a little bit earlier with Fox and Flutter. And, you know, could that be on the horizon for DraftKings? Well, you know, the big media company up there in Canada, the Score, we've seen them, you know, get involved here in the States a little bit, I would say kind of dipping their toe in, but they're a big advocate of this. And, you know, as we would imagine up there in Canada, because with, you know, the app and the reach and the brand recognition and all the things that we've talked about, maybe even on a level of an ESPN here in the States, you look at the Score and something like single game wagering. And if they were able to kind of get in on that, could be very, very lucrative for a company like that. And again, you know, they've tried here in the States to what I would say probably minimal success
thus far. And we had an interesting interview with the folks running the Score probably about a month ago at Legal Sports Report, where they were the first to predict the idea of a market reset and in New Jersey. And we sort of poo-pooed it on the podcast, and I'm not convinced of it yet, but I am starting to hear more people talk about the concept of you could see the gap shortening a little bit for everybody behind FanDuel and DraftKings. Now, we heard from Nigel Eccles last week that he doesn't see anyone challenging the number one or number two spots, but you could see a reshuffling of everyone below that, and perhaps a little bit of that lead eaten into for the top two. When it comes to Canada, absolutely. The Score, as you know, has a media app and you know, understandably, a Scores app from which it has been trying to convert people over to sports betting. They haven't really been able to do that in significant numbers yet, although their conversions in terms of percentage of users who came from the media app was up around 3/4 for their last measured period. So it does seem that, you know, they're getting the channel of conversion down. How many people they can, you know, move that way could be interesting up in Canada. I also, by the way, Matt, coincidentally, I really enjoy when Dustin goes into rocking chair mode, where he's like, I've been writing about this story since the dawn of time itself, and I'll believe it when I see it. Now gather around, children.
I look fondly back on the 2015-2016 when I was the only one doing this nonsense, and it is wild to think back and where everything was. And you know, Canada, like, again, no, Canada is like California. I've been writing. I think I dug up a story I wrote in 2016, floating the idea of single game wagering there. It's, you know, this changes the dynamic again a little bit, but you know, it proves in the pudding whenever you get any of this stuff done.
Yeah, Dust is not just an OG, he's an OGG, an original gambling gangster. Like, he's the O double G.
Well, when he's talking about Canada, he's the old Canada G.
I know some of our Canadian employees do listen to this, so shout out to you guys.
Yeah, shout out to you guys up there.
Shout out, hosers.
Borders closed, so we won't see you anytime soon, but hey, you know, like, shout out to you up there, you know. Whenever we have a chance here. Adam, we talked about Illinois Live. This is a state that we are also monitoring very heavily, a state that we predict at some point in the future will be putting out some pretty massive numbers. Now, will that be anytime soon? We did get some licenses handed out, but where do we sit on the mobile gaming front?
Every time I start to talk about Illinois, I find myself saying, let me go double check that to make sure I have that right, because everything is so complicated in this state that it requires that level of attention. The Illinois Gaming Board did hand out the first 7 sports betting licenses for casinos in the state of Illinois, and those cover retail sports betting. Now, mobile sports betting is supposed to be a year and a half away from the issuing of those licenses. However, we saw that Governor Pritzker did authorize through an executive order the suspension of in-person registration, basically saying people can sign up for remote sports betting accounts from their phone. which is a great step. The problem is right now, no one in the state is authorized to offer legal online sports betting. That could change. I think most folks at this point have their money on Rivers because of not only Rivers' huge presence in the state, but you know, we've also seen them be an early mover in both New Jersey and Pennsylvania. That puts Rivers up near the top of the list for who might go in Illinois. But it's important to keep in mind that even if you're able to register for an account remotely, the executive order only lasts as long as Governor Pritzker has essentially a disaster declared for the coronavirus pandemic in Illinois. So you could be looking at, you know, only a flash of a window, a month or two of online sports betting being offered, but it could be a huge window in terms of customer acquisition looking on farther down the line to when we do have online sports betting. Now, as we said, that is 18 months away. We start the clock from when those licenses were issued, unless FanDuel or DraftKings is willing to pay their way out of the penalty box that they were put into by paying for one of those freestanding $20 million licenses.
Those seven casinos, Argosy, Grand Victoria, both Hollywood casinos, Rivers Casino, Casino Queen, and Paradise Hotel Casino, there in Illinois. So if you're wondering which seven casinos, again, that full article up over there at Legal Sports Report. Guys, we're going to close things out here with California. It is the ongoing saga. It is the state that we cannot stop talking about because weirdness abounds. And all right, so we've got amendments. We've got things going on here. Where do we sit with California? Of course, Dustin, I'll put your feet to the fire. I will make you put down some sort of percent of passage here. That's one of the things that we like to do with you here on the podcast. But Adam, you want to just kick things off here with just kind of the state of affairs there in California?
The nuts and bolts of California, as Matt Riddell updated us on exclusively yesterday, is that Senator Dodd, Assemblyman Gray, they have amendments coming to the bill that they have put through the legislature. If you'll remember, initially, this was full mobile being allowed immediately. It was being offered only to tribes, and it was essentially going to let card rooms pretty much operate as they have been with, I should say, also tribes and a few racetracks would be getting mobile sports betting. So the amendments that we've seen appear to be an attempt to reach out to the tribes. You're going to see a phase-in proposed in these amendments. So you wouldn't be looking at full mobile. And when we say full mobile, we mean remote sign-up, remote funding until 2023. You would essentially have 1 year of in-person only in 2021, 1 year of in-person registration in 2022, and then you could go fully mobile in 2023. That's a nod to the tribes who have been wary of online gaming, and we'll have some very interesting quotes coming from the tribes about that at Legal Sports Report either later today or tomorrow. But those amendments were put out there yesterday by Senator Dodd, and we will see what happens tomorrow at the hearing. The initial response from tribes, not particularly strong. The card rooms, who would, and this is a more complicated scenario that I want to get into, face some additional restrictions, seem to be okay with the amendments that were proposed.
The annual licensing fee looked like it got cut from $1 million to $500,000 annually, of course, for that. Anybody would jump at the opportunity to pay that to have California in their portfolio. Dustin, ebbs and flows, all kinds of craziness going on here. Where do you stand? Here we are Wednesday, the 17th of June. How do you feel about the chances of anything happening in California?
I feel not great at all that this is going to happen. My dire prediction of an earthquake would make California slide off into the ocean before sports betting. I think you can feel pretty safe about that now. I mean, I don't think anything's changed much. It's still a very big long shot. I think the latest amendments might have even mucked things up and made it even less clear. It tried to bridge the gap. The tribes, at least in what they're saying publicly to us and to what they're saying even privately, this is still not enough for them. So you're still at where we were last week, where we were when the bill was first introduced. That we don't have tribe support. So it's whether this bill can get through without the tribe support. It takes a 2/3 vote. The tribes are very politically powerful. have lots of casinos in members' districts. So I think it's super complicated now. The dynamic continues to be that California is way short on money. They're trying to earmark as much as $500 million from state revenue, you know, from taxes and licensing fees that, you know, that helps bridge the gap on the budget now. That's the part that remains compelling. Like if that narrative is better than the tribes just don't want this. And again, I understand the dynamic between the card rooms and the tribes. I think this is about almost as good as of a deal as the tribes could hope for, especially with keeping card rooms out of sports betting entirely, which the card rooms seem to be okay with if they get the other things and legal clarity that they want on other things. So I don't know. I'd still say I've been saying it's like a plus 2,500 underdog to happen. I don't know if we've changed much from that. Maybe it's even a little worse than that as we sit here. But I think there is still just a glimmer of hope that something gets jammed through quickly as in terms of the greater macro dynamic of politics in California.
Adam, as we move into the fall here, California, obviously a state we're going to be keeping a big eye on, but what are some of the other, you know, kind of prized possessions that are out there that are, you know, have a realistic chance of something coming to fruition, you know, throughout the course of the rest of 2020, or maybe even just early 2021 for the listeners out there who might be saying, you guys don't talk about my state enough. Is there any other carrots that we might could dangle out there in front of anyone?
The juiciest carrot that I would put out there is Ohio. I think Ohio has the best chance of any populous and sports heavy state of getting through. This is a bill that was pretty much on the threshold before the coronavirus pandemic hit. Remember, it's year two of a 2-year session in Ohio, and the bill made a lot of progress last year. I heard a lot of good things behind the scenes about where that was headed. Really, the only thing left to figure out in Ohio, and it has been a hurdle, has been to figure out who will have control of sports betting. But I don't think that's going to be enough to keep Ohio from passing at some point later this year, if we're back into something of a more normal situation for the legislature to have the time and bandwidth to deal with that. That's the state I would look at primarily. In terms of the other big states, don't hold your breath in New York. It's not happening in Florida. And go fly a kite in Texas.
Go fly a kite in Texas. That's a perfect way to end episode number 57 of the podcast here, guys. We are on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google. We do appreciate those subscriptions, those ratings, those reviews. They do help us climb up little charts there so people can find us. So please, please go in and do that. Dustin and Adam, you can find them on Twitter at Dustin Galker, at Adam Candy. That is 2 E's and no Y, at LSP Report on the Twitter for the site in general. And as always, all of the articles, every single story that we talked about here are found over on LegalSportsReport.com. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just $1 every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No